As you look outside today, it's easy to see what's talked about in the book of Romans in the first chapter, when it talks about the works of God being evident through what has been made. As you travel around this country or maybe even the world and you see the different truly wonders that God spoke into existence, you understand what the psalmist was writing about when he said that the heavens declare the glory of God. That these works show the power of Him who created all things and put all things in subjection unto Himself. We truly serve a mighty God, and a God whose creation account we have studied most likely from when we were just small children up until now. And as we go to Genesis and we read about the truly awesome works that God performed, just by speaking, we can be awestruck and in wonder about the God whom we serve. And then we get to the Gospel of John. Because in that creation account, in the creation of the physical world, as we're told in Genesis, we're given an equally awesome, an equally wonderful account in the beginning of the Gospel of John. As the creation, not of the physical world is described, but the creation of our spiritual hope is shown to us. In the Gospel of John, the first chapter, beginning in the first verse, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all may believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him, and he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me.' For of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him." As we look at the early account from John, and we see him outline the story of Christ, the story of the Messiah who came into this world, who went unto that cross, who died for us, that fulfilled that plan that was set forth from before the foundations of the world, as Ephesians talks about. As we read this, are we moved? As we read this, do we understand that just as we can be awestruck by the physical world, by the things that are around us and what God was able to do, think about the deed that He did that was so much greater, that goes even beyond just speaking the very world into existence, the very universe into being. But instead, He set forth a plan so that we might have hope. Those who had rejected Him, those who had cast Him off in pursuit of vanity, might have a chance to reside in heaven forever with Him. This is something that should move us. This is something that should cause us to want to jump into action, to serve God, to diligently seek after Him in His ways, understanding that we have been given His mind, that that word is left with us today, that we have it right here at our fingertips. The mind of God laid bare so that we can access hope. Unfortunately, we're faced with the fact that many of you have already tuned me out by now. 2016 marks a very important date in the evolution of human history. And that's because for the very first time, we have a shorter attention span than a goldfish. 8.25 seconds. 8.25 seconds. Less time than it takes to read this account about the wonders that God has done for each and every one of us. By this point, many of you are probably thinking that list sure seems a whole lot longer than you thought it was before we got started. That I've already talked for way longer than you wish I would. But what we have right now, what we have when we come into this place, when we go about worshiping the God who set forth a plan to give us a chance, that's something worth focusing on. That's something we're setting our minds to. That's something worth beating out that average, pushing out the world that says that there are better things to focus on, pushing out the world that is crawling, begging, scraping for our attention, hoping that we'll detract from what God has given us. This is an opportunity for us to prove that we are better. This is our opportunity to prove that we can rise above what this world wants to say that we are, and that we can reach forward to that ideal of who God says that we were meant to be. This evening, we have an opportunity to take advantage of the hope that God laid before us. We have an opportunity to take advantage of the plan that He set into motion. Christ went to that cross. He lived a sinless life so that He could make it to that cross and die for each and every one of us, so that we could go down into those waters of baptism, being buried into that death, that burial, and being raised anew. A new man, like we've been talking about in the adult class, in the Ephesians study. A new man set forth on a new path, a path that is diligently seeking to serve God and abide in accordance with His will. This is what we have. This is the opportunity that we have. God is giving us every possible chance. How many times have you been able to come to an auditorium like this and to listen to someone read to you out of Scripture? To listen to someone talk to you about the goodness of God, about the hope that He's put within us? And how many times have you left knowing that you were not in proper standing with the Father? Understanding that there was sin between you and Him? Whether it be the rejection of even beginning a walk with Him by going down into those waters and taking advantage of hope for the first time. Or whether it be allowing yourself to be sucked back into this world, giving yourself over to the lusts that seek to pull us in to anything and everything that is not a pursuit of God. How many times do we have to hear it before we'll act? Before we'll appreciate the wonders that are described in John 1? And before we will bow our heads with humility and take that step, whether it be repentance and prayer or whether it be baptism, take that step. Because God has given us a chance. God has put the plan in motion. And He's left the door wide open for anyone and everyone who's willing to take advantage of what He's laid before us. Are you willing to take advantage of that tonight? Or have you already tuned me out? If there's any way in which we can assist you this evening, please come forward.